Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a quick digest of compelling legal issues and practical insights delivered to you in less than 20 minutes.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for another Ogletree Deacons Podcast. My name is Keith Copeland. I'm a shareholder in the Milwaukee office of Ogletree Deacons, and I'm joined today with Sarah Platt, my colleague.
Hi,
Sarah.
Keith. Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Last time, we talked about some tips for managing Family and Medical Leave Act at the federal level, and we promised to come back and talk about the differences between the federal Family and Medical Leave Act and Wisconsin's Family and Medical Leave Act. And again, Wisconsin is one of 12 jurisdictions that has a separate Family and Medical Leave Act law. I've been a lawyer for a number of years, and each and every year, the state legislature here in Wisconsin considers passing a law to conform the state law to the federal law, but it still hasn't happened. And that means we are left managing and administering both sets of leaves for employees here in the state of Wisconsin. As mentioned last time, when an employee is subject to multiple bodies of law, that individual is entitled to the benefit of the most favorable law. So one of the differences between state and federal here in Wisconsin is who's eligible. And the federal law requires an employee to work 1,250 hours, to be employed by the employer for at least a year, and work at a job site where there are 50 or more employees within a 75-mile radius. Wisconsin's law, by contrast, only requires employees to be paid for a total of 1,000 hours in the previous year. And although employers in Wisconsin do need to have 50 or more employees to be covered, the employees do not need to work within a 75-mile radius to be eligible for the state law. Now, assuming an employee is eligible, Sarah, what sorts of leave entitlements are there here in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, and like eligibility requirements, they're similar to federal law, but not exactly the same. And so we have to think of them separately. One other note on eligibility, that 1,000 hours paid is an important thing to keep in mind. So paid leave counts as work time under Wisconsin FMLA eligibility and not under federal, which can make a pretty significant difference. And then in terms of what they get, Wisconsin separates eligibility for leave into separate, I'll call them buckets of leave entitlement. And so the reason for the leave makes a difference. So under Wisconsin law, an employee can get 2 weeks of leave for their own serious health condition, an additional 2 weeks of leave for the serious health condition of a family member, 6 weeks of leave for birth and bonding of a child or adoption of a child, and then also 6 weeks of leave for organ donation. And so in Wisconsin, those leaves may stack on top of one another. So an employee may get all of them in 1 year or may only use one or another of them. It also impacts the way that Wisconsin law interacts with federal law. So where the circumstances are covered by both laws, leave would run concurrently. But there can be circumstances where an employee might exhaust their 12 weeks of leave under federal law for one reason and still have a bank of leave available for a different reason under Wisconsin law, and so ultimately may end up being entitled to more than 12 weeks in a given year.
Now, another way that the law here in Wisconsin can be stacked is at the end of the leave year. Now, under the federal law, employers have a choice of what leave year they would like to administer. It can be a rolling year, backwards or forwards. It can be a calendar year. It can be an anniversary year. In Wisconsin, the leave year has to be a calendar year. So if an employee starts taking leave at the end of December, their 2 weeks of leave for their own serious health condition, on January 1st, they're going to get a reset and potentially be eligible to take 2 more weeks of leave for their own serious health condition, even though it's 4 in a row potentially under the law.
And it can also stack that way with federal law. So even if somebody used their 12 weeks of leave under federal law and it happened to be at the end of a year, January 1, that employee may get new leave available under Wisconsin law to make a longer period of leave. Another one of the differences is substitution. And this is one that really does change the dynamics under Wisconsin law. So under federal law, an employer may require an employee to substitute paid leave. And that's one thing that I think is a misunderstanding by employees a lot of the time. I think they think of FMLA leave as a one bank of leave and paid leave programs that they might get from the employer as separate banks of leave. And under federal law, that's not really the case. FMLA provides job protection, paid leave provides pay. The two might run concurrently, but they might not. And an employer can insist that they run concurrently. Similarly, under federal law, an employer can say that the employee cannot substitute a paid leave provision for federal FMLA if the circumstances wouldn't qualify under that paid leave plan. So, for example, it comes up a lot with sick leave. If an employer's sick leave policy says somebody needs to actually be sick. So, for example, for maternity or paternity leave, leave for the birth of a child, after a certain period of time, everybody's healthy. And so that leave isn't being used for illness and so may not qualify under the employer's sick leave plan. Under federal law, the employer can say no, the employee may not substitute paid sick leave for that federal FMLA. But under Wisconsin law, an employee can choose to substitute any paid accrued leave for Wisconsin FMLA leave. So that means even if the employee circumstances wouldn't otherwise qualify under the paid leave plan, the employee can substitute paid leave for Wisconsin FMLA. The employee can also choose not to substitute paid leave under Wisconsin FMLA, which can make a difference as well. So sometimes you get employees who want to save that paid leave for a later date. And under federal law, an employer doesn't have to require that for the period that is covered by Wisconsin law. So for that 6 weeks of leave for the birth of a child or 2 weeks of leave for a serious health condition, the employer would need to allow the employee to decline to substitute.
Another difference between the state and federal law is taking leave to care for a child with a serious health condition, an adult child in particular. At the federal level, care for an adult child, the individual being cared for needs to have a disability. It needs to rise to the level of a disability recognized by the Americans with Disabilities Act. Is that the case here in Wisconsin?
No. So under Wisconsin law, the adult child essentially needs to have a serious health condition, which is a different measure, right? This is the one where it might be an illness of a week. And that may not qualify as a disability, but may qualify as a serious health condition. And so the employee would be able to use leave to care for that adult child under Wisconsin FMLA, but not under federal FMLA. Now, remember that Wisconsin only grants 2 weeks of leave for care for a family member with a serious health condition. So that would include that adult child, not the 12 weeks provided under federal law. So it is a shorter period of leave eligibility, but it can apply to a broader scope of children.
I have one additional difference between state and federal law I would like to touch on, and that's the idea of transferring an individual who is on intermittent leave. At the federal level, if an employee has foreseeable leave, there's an opportunity for the employer to discuss transferring that individual to a position that can better handle the foreseeable pattern of absences. What about here in Wisconsin? Could the employer do that?
So no, the Wisconsin FMLA doesn't have a provision providing for transfer. So certainly if the employee and the employer agree to that transfer, it may still be possible. And your employee may be willing to do that in the best interest of everyone. But if the employer is imposing that on the employee and the employee doesn't want the transfer, the Wisconsin agencies may say that that's a violation of the Wisconsin FMLA. Again, that's only going to be for the shorter period of time covered by Wisconsin law. So for that period of foreseeable intermittent leave, during the first 2 weeks, you may not be able to transfer. But then when the Wisconsin FMLA is exhausted, you could explore that option under federal law. I wanted to highlight one other difference between federal and Wisconsin law. There are some differences in the family members that are covered under Wisconsin law. So Wisconsin provides coverage for an employee to take leave to care for their domestic partner. And that is still a part of the law, even though marriage equality is on the scene. And so it also covers in-laws, which the federal law doesn't cover, and that in-law includes the parent of a domestic partner. So those are some circumstances that wouldn't be covered under federal law, but may be covered, some family relationships that would also be covered under Wisconsin law. So it is a bit more broad in a number of ways, as we've discussed today. And as you said, where both laws apply, employers who are in Wisconsin or whose employees are in Wisconsin need to offer the more generous provision for the employee, whether that's state or federal law.
That's a great point, Sarah. And thank you very much for joining me again today to talk about the differences between the Federal Family Medical Leave Act and Wisconsin's Family Medical Leave Act.
Yeah, happy to be here.
And thank you all for joining us for another Ogletree Deacons podcast. Enjoy your day.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.